This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Hi, everybody. Terry Braverman sitting back in the chair for a Friday afternoon. We'll be on the air 870 AM for the next hour or 55 minutes. And it's a pleasure to talk Spartan sports and whatever else is on your mind. We think we've lined up three great guests for you. And that's always a kind of a crapshoot, I must admit, because we've had problems in the past of not getting through or phone problems. But Aaron, you assure me things are going to go well. And our first guest will be on the air in a couple minutes. We're calling him down in New Orleans. And that is the Special K guy. It's Gregory Kelser. Greg's down with the Pistons, has a broadcast tonight, and we'll talk with him about the state of Michigan State basketball and the NBA, among other things. Our second guest is a doctor we're going to be on the line with from Detroit, who had a great idea a few years ago, and that is, let's check the athletes in high school for special heart problems, rather than just the normal physical that young people go through. Let's go a little extra effort and make sure they have a good heart before they go out and compete in whatever boys or girls sports they are competing in. And it has taken off. Everyone seems to be excited about what this doctor is doing and his team down in Detroit. And we'll get into that a little bit. And then later on, we're going to call a guy that I want to say young man. He played basketball for Michigan State back in the 60s, and he was partially responsible for helping Michigan State upset a very, very good Wolverine basketball team back in the 60s when they had All-American Cassie Russell. We'll tell you how that came about, and he'll explain how good he really was if we can get him off the golf course. And his name, Jerry Giesler. We're going to get the geese on the line towards the end of this hour. But first, I guess you should know that it is Friday and Sunday is the game. Again, it's another big one for the Spartans. They've already had two or three outstanding opponents. And what is it? The 11th game in a span of 12 games. That's 11 out of 12 that we'll see Michigan State play 10 of 12 against teams likely to make the NCAA tournament. And it'll be the third straight game for the Spartans against a ranked opponent. Beginning February 19 against Indiana, the Spartans playing four straight games against ranked opponents, two on the road, if the current rankings hold, that is. MSU will be the only basketball team in the nation to play four straight conference games against ranked opponents this season. By the way, overall this season, Michigan State is 4-4 against teams that were ranked in the top 20 in the nation. They have a pretty good record in that regard. And let's hope that it continues down in Ann Arbor. Gary Harris, by the way, the outstanding freshman, is now being picked not only as the top candidate for the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, he may be top five in the nation. And for those of you who love Spartan minutia, you love trivia, Gary Harris now with a 13.4 scoring average is the third best freshman offensively in Michigan State history. What we should do, Gary, is ask someone to call in and say, who does he trail? Who are the top two Spartan freshmen averaging more points than anybody else? You want to do that? I got a couple of hockey tickets we can go. All right, let's do it. I got the thumbs up. I've got two hockey tickets for tonight's game. If you can tell me who is the number one scoring freshman basketball all time, who's number two? Gary Harris right now is number three. I suppose I should give you a phone number to call, shouldn't I? See how intelligent that is? Here it is. It's 355-9527. Or if you're outside our area code, 877-952-7870. Again, that's 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. Also, I'm told we have a couple of tickets to give away for the Wisconsin game, the Spartans' next home game on Thursday, March 7th, tip-off 9 o'clock. And if you'd like to just enter your name, you don't even have to guess anything. You don't even have to play trivia. Call and give your name at area code 517-884-4783. Again, that's 517-884-4783. Give us your name. We'll throw you in the hopper. And now, Alex, Aaron, what you didn't tell me is when are we going to draw for those tickets? Next week sometime, I assume? Before Thursday? Yeah. And draw on the air, and we'll contact you and give you a couple of Wisconsin tickets. That should be a great one. By the way, the time for the Northwestern game, the final home game of the season, senior night, has been announced, and it is 6 o'clock on Sunday. 6 o'clock Sunday, March 10th, will be the Wildcats and the Spartans at the Breslin Center. It'll be senior night, and to my knowledge, Derek Nix will be the only senior honored that night, but there probably will be a manager or two among others, and it's always a fun night. 6 o'clock Sunday, the 10th of March, Northwestern, the opponent, Big Ten Network. Still trying to get a hold of Greg, are we? All right, he's down. And by the way, let me set it up by saying Greg Kelcer is the all-time career rebounding leader in Michigan State history. He led Michigan State, the only player ever to do this, to lead the team in rebounding 4 straight years. He had 1,092 rebounds when he was done, surpassing Johnny Green and a whole bunch of other great rebounders in their careers. And Gregory, at 6'7", came out of Detroit, Henry Ford High School, to come to Michigan State back in 1976, and was recruited and played his first year for Gus Ganakis. And then the reins were handed over to Judd Heathcote, and 3 years later, national champions, Michigan State, 1979. Kelcer, of course, the leader, along with Magic Johnson, in that rush to the title. How we doing, Aaron? Are we getting any luck with our phones? Trying to find Greg down and somewhere, wherever the Pistons are staying in New Orleans. They play tonight against the Hornets, and hopefully we'll get him on. We'll talk about, how about Dennis Rodman? Oh, I got to ask Greg. Is he becoming the diplomat for the United States and talking with the leader of North Korea and putting on a basketball clinic over there? Are you kidding me? Dennis Rodman? Okay. Hey, whatever works. Greg may have a take on that too as well. Also, I know folks are asking this question. What will happen with the seeds in the Big Ten tournament? Let's just, for the heck of it, say that Indiana wins the Big Ten. We don't want that to happen, but let's say that they do, and Michigan State would tie for second. How the number 2 seed will be determined is how did you do against your opponent, or who you're tied with. And let's for the heck of it, say it was Wisconsin, and Michigan State and Wisconsin have the identical record in the Big Ten. How did you do against that team? Well, if the Spartans win against Wisconsin next Thursday, they will have beaten them twice, so Michigan State would be the number 2 seed. If, by any chance, Wisconsin should beat Michigan State and tie with Michigan State for the second, Wisconsin would, then it's determined by how did they do against the number 1 team. In this case, number 1 team might be Indiana, and if that's the case, Wisconsin beat Indiana once. The Spartans lost to Indiana twice, so Wisconsin would get the number 2 seed, and the Spartans would drop to 3. Let's go to the phones and wait for Greg. Let's go to Todd is on the line right there. Todd, welcome to the Sports Talk.
From Fort Wayne.
How you doing? Good. What's happening down Fort Wayne?
Well, I'm waiting for the big game Sunday. I hope you take it to those rich, arrogant, prideful people in that lower deck down there. You know, you need to take that stadium over. Hey, buddy, I got a question for you. You've lost 2 in a row yourself. If you happen to lose to Michigan, they're number 5 seed right now. What would that mean?
Means they go up one, but they've got still have 5 losses, and we will have 4.
Okay.
So we would still be ahead of the Skunk Bears. But yeah. Why are you, you're in Fort Wayne, why aren't you rooting for the Hoosiers?
Well, buddy, I lived in Michigan all my life. I worked down at Michigan Football Stadium for 18 years, and they fired me. Then they put Lloyd Carr, Rich Rodriguez, John Beilein, David Brandon, took my chocolate and nailed the Victor's ink pens and blew me off and took away my season tickets. So I'm not very happy with the University of Michigan.
I don't blame you at all, Todd.
They're very arrogant and prideful. Very arrogant and prideful. I didn't realize just how arrogant and prideful they were until I seen the people at the top do how much disrespect they did. I got this article about my mother. She was in a car accident. They said 1,000 times she's going to die. 19 years later, sir, she's still alive. And they fired me for that blessing. Then they revoked my season tickets. My mom's still alive.
Hold on, Todd. I got to tell you, stop you right there.
Right.
Because I perhaps share some of the views, but not all of them, that you're professing there.
Okay.
But I had a chance to play golf with Lloyd Carr last summer in a fundraiser for Special Olympics. He's been very, very active in that. He's a good friend of George Perlis.
Right.
He changed my opinion a great deal. I found Lloyd himself to be a very articulate guy. He was nice with the kids that we met.
Right.
Now, I understand that sometimes when we get in the heat of the battle and we see coaches in a different light, but I saw him away from football. I was very impressed. I saw him when he came to the Breslin Center when Michigan State played Michigan this year, and Lloyd was there with Brady Hoke and among others. And
David Brandon.
And Lloyd was very good. He said hello and do a good job, and we'll play golf next summer. So you know what? I think we sometimes get, not we, but a lot of Michigan State people get carried away with the rivalry, and it may not be as bad as it seems. But thanks for the call, Todd. I appreciate
it. No, it's Ray.
Go Green, buddy. All right.
Hey, can I talk to another second? Are you there?
Yeah.
Lloyd Carr, I'm not going to say he didn't do a lot of nice things, and we all have our own sins. We all make mistakes. But I didn't like the way those guys took my chocolates and hailed the victors. Think with Lloyd Carr, David Brandon, Bill Martin, and all them guys said they were going to help me get my job back. Then they revoked my season tickets and ran me out of town like a criminal. Sir, you do not disrespect people like that when you spend over $100,000 on football tickets down there. You know what I'm saying? You do not disrespect. This isn't a lappy matter, sir.
I
don't like
Todd.
People that disrespect my mother and God, and God, my mother and me.
Thank you, Todd, for the call. I appreciate it. Where did I go wrong? Here I was just trying to be a nice guy, and Todd's got me confused with somebody else. But anyway, you know what I want to do, Aaron? If Greg is tied up right now, is he still? He's tied up. Let's see if we can get Dr. Almany on the line. I call down to Beaumont in Detroit, and I'll set it up by saying that a few years ago I met this outstanding Spartan graduate in Detroit. He's a cardiologist at Beaumont and has his own group down there with a lot of Spartans and a lot of Wolverines on the same medical staff, but just does an outstanding job with the Michigan Heart Group. And all of a sudden, Stephen came up with the idea that, well, I'll let him explain it, because what happened was the result of a professional athlete who had discovered he had some heart problems. But I'll let Steve explain why and what happened and how for 5-6 years now he's been helping high school athletes and screening them in the city of Detroit and surrounding area, and I think now is branching out even further. So it to me, it's a fascinating story. And I will tell you this, that if you want to see Dr. Almany's name and a bunch of other great Spartans, their names are on a plaque outside the Breslin Center across from the statue of Irvin Magic Johnson, which is, of course, an iconic statue on our campus. And these fellas put the money together to have that to pay for the design and the sculpture that now stands outside Breslin. And so you know that this is the kind of guy that puts his money where his mouth is and has been a great supporter of Michigan State, among other things. But what a fantastic idea he's come up with. And as soon as we can, we'll get him on the line. He, I think, may be actually doing some surgery in the hospital. He's not in his office today. So that, you know, you can't interrupt the serious, important stuff with sports talk. But we'll do that anyway. That's all right. Again, if you want those Wisconsin tickets, the number to call and enter your name is 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783. Give Aaron your name and he'll enter you into the Wisconsin tickets. Now, I was serious about running a contest this next half hour, and that is if you can tell me the top freshman scorer in Michigan State history in terms of average, and the number two. You have to get both of them right. Right now, it's Gary Harris running number three, averaging about 13.4 points a game. Gary Harris, out of Fishers, Indiana, more than likely a top candidate to be Freshman of the Year in the Big Ten, and a possibility of a Freshman All-American this year. I think he had 17 points, if I'm not mistaken, against Michigan the first time around in East Lansing. Hopefully, he'll be able to do that or more on Sunday against the Wolverines at Chrysler. How we doing, Aaron? All right, we coming through? Steve is on the phone. Dr. Almaney, are you there?
I am there, Terry. How are you?
Stephen, how are you? I'm sorry to interrupt you in the busy business of surgery in Detroit.
No problem. It's a worthy cause. I'm happy to talk about it.
Stephen, tell us, first of all, I want to know what year you graduated Michigan State.
I got out of there in 85.
85. And you've been practicing in cardiology for a long time now, but what brought you to the point where you wanted to help high school athletes with possible heart problems?
Well, you know, I think your audience will find that interesting. And what happened, Terry, back in 2006, for those people on the line that are Red Wing fans, if you remember, there was a young defenseman at that time named Yari Fisher, and he collapsed on the ice kind of as he was coming off the ice. And I still have the YouTube clip of it where the ESP announcer said he was having a seizure. Well, in fact, it wasn't a seizure. He was dying. And what this was were his last breaths. Hmm. And fortunately, there was a guy right there in the hallway who had some medical background and recognized that he was having a cardiac arrest and defibrillated him and saved his life. And if you remember the next couple of days, this was news all across the country and even the world, because people said, you know, how can a world-class athlete, potentially die from a heart problem? And we were sitting around, a couple of us, and obviously we see younger people with heart disease. We knew it, but I think the population didn't realize what a significant deal this was. So we thought we'd take it upon ourselves to start screening some kids. We went to the hospital, to Beaumont, and said we wanted to do this. And obviously we got a lot of, you know, looks. Why do you want to do this? Cost money. We're going to have to pay for all this. And so we started back that year doing a small screening at Royal Oak High School, kind of to figure out what we were doing. And now we're starting our seventh year, and we're at almost 9,000 kids we've done. So it's probably the biggest program now in the United States.
Steve, let's go back a minute. What do you do, and when do you do it, and who gets to be screened, both boys and girls of all sports?
Yeah, and that's we get asked that every day, Terry. And obviously people, you know, have heard a lot about this and want to get their kids screened.
Sure.
And the reality is what we do right now is we're doing kids, for the most part, in ninth grade, maybe eighth grade, through 12th. And then usually if they're playing college sports, the universities will pick it up. And the reason we don't do it younger is twofold. The incidence of death is not real high in the younger, you know, middle school age, probably for two reasons. The heart disease hasn't manifested itself yet. And to be honest with you, the intensity of the athletics is probably not severe enough for a kid to die at that age.
Well, Dr. Almaney, let's go back just a minute. Does the parent of a student have to give permission for this heart screening?
Yeah, they do, Terry.
Of course.
And most of the time, what we're finding, which is interesting, it's mostly the mothers that are bringing the kids. So,
but they do go through a normal physical just to be able to take part in high school sports anyway. But
they
that
do.
Doesn't
if you
get
remember,
the, as
you know,
elaborate.
If you remember, Terry, when you and I went through that, the biggest concern by your guy was whether you had a hernia.
Exactly. Just cough.
And the joke in my field is no one dies of a hernia. So what we've done is really extend it out to, you know, having a cardiologist listen to these kids, doing an EKG, neither one, which is standard.
Kid gets an EKG?
Yeah, every kid gets an EKG.
Wow.
Every kid has a cardiologist. And actually, during the last one we just did, which we did in Troy, Michigan, we had ultrasound equipment, and every kid had an ultrasound of the heart.
Wow.
Now, you know, when you go to your pediatrician, he might listen to you. Unlikely he would do an EKG, and, you know, they would have to send you for an ultrasound if they did it. So we're pretty convinced that that probably would not be picked up in a routine exam of a kid.
Start
so
to finish,
totally
how long does it take, Stephen, for each student?
Well, we got it down. I'm not going to tell you we were perfect in the beginning, but I would say, Terry, that they're in and out in 15 minutes.
Wow.
So it's pretty smooth. We have people at each station.
And what do you do if you discover something?
Well, you know, that's the bad news. We have discovered a lot of things. We found more things when we've been downtown, and I think that's probably, you know, socioeconomic in nature. We're finding a lot of those kids are bigger. We found a 9% incidence of hypertension downtown in these kids. 9%.
Hypertension, which means a forerunner to possible heart problems?
Yeah, high blood pressure, you know, okay. That wasn't being treated. And what we're finding right now is we're looking for one specific abnormality of the heart called a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And in the general population, that's 1 out of 500 kids. Mm. And right now, we're running about that same number. So, and that's very potentially lethal. And then we're finding a handful of other things where kids needed to have a procedure. So it's less than 1%, but, you know, if you're a kid, I still think 1% is pretty high.
You know what I think you're also doing, Stephen, and this is probably a side effect. You're probably, in some small way, influencing a student or two that might not even have been interested in medicine to see what you are doing and saying, you know, this looks really fascinating. I think when I get out of high school, I'm going to go into pre-med or something.
Well, you know, I think we have. And that's what we, when we do each one of our road shows, we need about 50 volunteers.
Wow.
And and for years, it's been, of course, the same people.
Wait a minute. Time out. Do the volunteers have to be medically gifted?
No, they do not. We have many people that might work in the hospital and other positions, and they come and help us. Obviously, you know, we need a handful of doctors, but that really hasn't been a big issue thus far.
All right. Now let's say that I'm the athletic director of High School X in and around the Detroit market. How do I let you know that I would love to have my athletes screened? And what time of year does that take place?
Sure. So, you know, the first thing, you know, to be fair, is to say, well, why isn't this widespread?
Yeah.
And the reason it isn't widespread is if you did it based on cost, so if Blue Cross had to pay for it, it's incredibly expensive to find a kid who has an abnormality. That's why it's not routine, number one.
Okay.
But if you look at all the studies that are out there, Terry, and you say, if you do this for free, we do this for about $8 a kid, you know, after I purchase all the stuff I have to, you know, it is very cost effective. And so it looks like we can probably save a life for about every $45,000 I spend.
Wow. It's worth that, isn't it?
So it's definitely worth it. But going back to your question.
Yeah. I'm a high school AD, and I want to get your team to my school.
Absolutely.
Or do I have to come to a different location?
No. We do 4 or 5 around the area every year. And so, of course, everyone's welcome there. It's usually about 500-600 kids.
So you put the word out, and they come all to one gathering place? One testing spot?
All they have to do is get the Beaumont, you know, Beaumont website, www.beaumont.com, and it shows when the next dates are. And those are all free. Now, if someone doesn't want to wait, they can, you know, come in and they do it for like $20, you know, which is a great deal.
Does this all happen before the school, right at the beginning of the school year, or when?
All year. We're doing it all year. We just did one about a month ago. We're going to have another one in a couple months. And the other important thing is that, you know, we certainly are not laying claim that we want to be the only place doing this. We're spreading this now throughout Michigan. We're showing people how we do it. And, in fact, Jim Weber, who's a former colleague of mine at the hospital, is now doing this up in Flint. Tom is going to help him, and some of the Flintstones are going to help him. And because there's probably a lot more pathology up there because the care is not as good.
Do they go to Beaumont still, the website, in order to let the people in Flint know, or is there a new
Well, right now, Jim Weber is running the ones up there. I don't know if they have a formal website yet.
Okay.
But the website also where you can get more details is Charlie Sanders has become you know, the former All-Pro, has become a big fan of us. And he has a website. It's called Save a Life. And there's a lot of information up there also when we're going to do these other ones. The other thing I wanted to say, Terry, was that not only do we, you know, educate these kids, take a listen to them, but we're teaching every kid how to use a defibrillator also.
Whoa! Every kid? Not just the trainers of the team?
No. And we've had a big problem with that, and I'm not going to go into specific cases, but there have been some cases in Michigan within the last year, and you can probably figure this out, that have been extremely publicized where a kid died. Where one, no one knew where the defibrillator was.
Oh.
Two, it was in another building. And three, when they finally got to it, there was no charge in it.
Mm-mm.
And that is just unconscionable. So we are going to make sure that that just never happens again.
I'll go back a moment because you mentioned Charlie, and our listeners may or may not know that I do the public address at Ford Field. And I was all of a sudden surprised a couple of weeks before the end of the year when you were down in the field receiving a check from Charlie Sanders Foundation to help your cause. And that was a nice gift of $25,000.
$25,000, which will probably let us screen, you know, 3,000 kids or so. And Charlie's been a big supporter. And again, Tom Izzo has been a huge supporter, done a lot of public service announcements for us. He's come to the charity event. So I've really got some great people helping me.
Steve, have you got a really good name for this program?
Well, we call it the Beaumont Healthy Heart Check.
Beaumont Healthy Heart Check.
Healthy Heart Check. Again, it doesn't need to be Beaumont, but we're the ones that are doing it. We're happy to have other people help us and spread it throughout the country.
Well, do you think that Mid-Michigan, where we are now, will eventually end up with this kind of a program?
Yeah, I do, Terry. I think that, again, you know, if you are naive a little bit to the subject, you'll look at it and say, why are they doing it? You know, a lot of costs. But every study that's looked at a volunteer base doing this has shown that this is beneficial for the kids. And, you know, that's kind of why we all went into medicine in the first place. So, you know, if you get people to volunteer their time, it's a great thing, and we know we save lives.
How much have you raised thus far, Steve?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. I'm a little embarrassed about this. But after we did the first couple screens, Terry, we had a lady come down from Flint. And I'm going to embarrass myself because she was either a member of the Elks or one of those clubs. And I envisioned these people wearing big hats sitting at the American Legion. And she said that, you know, this was great what we were doing. Some kid had died up in Flint, and they wanted me to be, you know, their poster child of the year. And they were going to raise money and give it to my group. Mm-hmm. And so I said, no, that's great. So she called about 6 months later and said, could you come up? I couldn't come up. I had cases that day. So I sent one of the ladies that works with me. And she called me up crying. And I thought, you know, this was going to be $1,000 or a bake sale. It was $135,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. And because they had had a death up there. So thus far, through philanthropic support, Mr. Ernst, who is locally a big name, and the Elks Club and some other people, the Detroit Lions, et cetera, I've raised over $250,000.
Wow. And if you wanted to write a check, it goes to Beaumont Healthy Heart Check?
Yes. And you can send it directly to the Beaumont Foundation, which is the charitable group arm of the hospital.
Uh-huh.
You want it to go.
That was my final question, Coach. You know, you got to have that 501c3,
exactly.
And you are a fully deductible charity organization.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Oh, man. How good is that? And one more, Steve. If a young person, say in the ninth grade, all of a sudden goes off the chart with hypertension and so forth, does that mean he or she is done, or is there something that you can give them to bring them back and they still be able to compete by a year or two?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the reality is most of these kids have issues that we can fix and they'll be able to play sports. So, you know, some kids are worried. It's kind of sad, but they're worried that if we find something, they're done in sports, so they kind of avoid us. But that's not the case. You know, 99% of the kids that we see who have an issue, we can get back to your full activity.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you taking your time. I appreciate the stint that I'm wearing as a result of your good work. And let's hope it happens for many, many more years.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Terry. Go green.
All right, buddy. I know you'll be looking on Sunday.
You know who I'm rooting for.
Yeah, and keep your heart in check.
I will, buddy.
All right, Steve. Thanks.
Thanks, Terry. Bye-bye.
Dr. Steve Almany. A cardiologist down at in the Troy area with the Beaumont, Michigan Heart Group. Is that a story or what? Man, are they helping young people in the best possible way. The Beaumont Healthy Heart Check. Any high school athlete, male or female, can ask their school or athletic department to take part. We're going to come back with more after we take a break. Stay tuned for Sports Talk after this short break on AM 870.
I'm Ira Flatow. Congressman Lamar Smith, chair of the House Science Committee, joins us on Science Friday to talk about the need to study asteroids that might hit Earth. We'll ask, show me the money. Plus, the strange radiation that came and went, and MC Frontalot talks nerdcore, where rap meets geek. All on Science Friday from NPR.
This afternoon, we can expect mostly cloudy skies and a high in the upper 20s. Then partly cloudy tonight, a low between 15 and 20. Some sun for Saturday, partly sunny, a high in the upper 20s, and mostly sunny on Sunday, about the same temperature, high in the upper 20s. This is Kevin Lavery.
And you're listening to Sports Talk. Terry Braverman sitting in on a Friday afternoon. What I've found out doing this show only for 5 or 6 days now is you have to be flexible, if nothing else. If one call doesn't go through, you try the other one. And again, we will take your phone call and enter you in if you want to win a couple of Wisconsin basketball tickets next week when the Badgers come to the Brez. 517-884-4783. Call in, give them your name, you'll be entered, and they'll draw next week for that game. 9 o'clock next Thursday, Wisconsin. And then, of course, with Northwestern, the final game on the 10th, senior day. Oh, and don't forget hockey. If you're in the area in mid-Michigan, the Spartans close out the regular season tonight and tomorrow night against Western Michigan. Tomorrow night will be the senior night, and hockey always does a great job with that one, with the pre-game festivities. But let's hope the Spartans can take a couple from the Broncos as Coach Anastas tries to get into the playoffs and takes on Western Michigan. I think I read they're number two in the nation. So good luck to the hockey club tonight, tomorrow night at Munn Arena. Also, I'm going to take your phone calls at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870 if you'd like to answer our question. Who are the top two scorers all time as freshmen in Michigan State basketball? One averaged over 17 points a game. The next best was over 15 points a game. And current freshman Gary Harris ranks number three at 13.6. Chances are he's not going to drop because it takes the entire body of work the whole season, and Gary would have to really fall off the charts in order to drop out of third place. Probably won't move up to second either. But if you know, you think you know who the top two scoring freshmen are, give us a call, 355-9527. Or toll-free, 952-7870. We're waiting to catch up with Greg Kelser down in New Orleans and also waiting for another Spartan to call that has a very interesting story to tell you. And I hope you enjoyed Dr. Stephen Almany, who's doing that heart screening of high school athletes. We talked about the tiebreaker. Any luck yet? No answer from Greg. He took a long lunch period. They're an hour difference, by the way. It's an hour earlier in Nolens. Okay, I'm not going to give you the answer. I almost gave you the answer of the two Spartans who are above Gary Harris. But by the way, Michigan State now with over 20 victories in the men's basketball season. In the last 16 years, it's the 13th out of 16, all under head coach Tom Izzo. Of the 21-20 win seasons in Spartan history, Izzo has been involved in 18 of them, 13 as a head coach and 5 as an assistant coach, of course, under Judd Heathcote. Also, we should congratulate Susie Merchant and the ladies' basketball team last night with a huge victory, maybe the biggest of the season, as they upset Purdue in Lafayette, put them into about a four-way tie for second place, and put them right back in the hunt for an NCAA tournament bid. Not that they were out of it, but that's a quality win helping the RPI. And maybe they could still be looking at a bye in the first round of the women's tournament. And also, let me tell you this, if you're interested, that tournament starts next week. I think it's the day that we play Wisconsin on the 7th at the Sears Center. Not everybody would know where the Sears Center is because, of course, when you think of Chicago, you think of United Center. It's in Hoffman Estates, which is a ways out of town and not really in Chicago. It's a suburb. The Sears Center is where they will play this year. The men will be at the United Center for the Big Ten tournament the following week after having been in Indianapolis for the last 5 or so years. But the women will be starting next week, the tournament at the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates, and then the men the following week after their Big Ten tournament will be at the United Center. And the men's basketball banquet is March 11th, the day after we host Northwestern on the 10th. So the busy time for the Spartans. Obviously, they prepare for Michigan on Sunday, then come home for 2 final games. And boy, you talk about upset city in college basketball. Almost every night this week, you've seen somebody go down. And last night, it was Duke, among others. And of course, before that, you saw Michigan lose to Penn State. You saw Indiana lose to Minnesota. And it goes on and on. Obviously, that home court isn't quite the advantage towards the end of the year for upsets, or it is the advantage, I should say. Oh, our man's on the line. Oh, yeah, I'm excited. We go all the way to Florida now. Let me see how I punch this up here. Jerry Giesler, are you with me?
I'm with you, Mr. Braverman.
Gerald, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Headed to the 18th tee.
Well, just hold up. Don't talk loudly. Let's tell the folks back here in mid-Michigan where exactly you are in the world.
I am in the Villages in Florida, which is a large retirement community about 20 miles south of Ocala.
How many golf courses down there, Jerry?
There are 38 golf courses.
38 golf courses in the Villages. And I understand you have a non-paying job also, right?
Well, no, I actually get paid, but I work as an ambassador at the golf course.
Here you are. You must be hard to spot at 6'9" as an ambassador. We used to call them Rangers, but now down there it's a big deal. It's an ambassador.
Correct. I'm probably the tallest ambassador they have.
Well, good for you. But you're a Spartan. That's the main thing.
Absolutely.
Let me tell the folks a little about Jerry Giesler. See if I'm right now. I'm going to give a little bio here. Jerry, by the way, was not blessed to have played as a freshman because freshmen, when they came to college in basketball, couldn't play. So he sat out his freshman year, which would be, I think, 65, then played for Coach Bennington, 66, 67, 68, came out of Detroit Redford High School. And, Jerry, I went through how your teams did when you were on the varsity against Michigan, because that's the, of course, important thing right now, Michigan Sunday. In your senior year, your team defeated Michigan twice, 86-81 in Ann Arbor and 82-77 in East Lansing. You're 65-66, you played U of M once, the last game of the year. And, Jerry, will you set that up for me? Set it up.
Yeah, we were coming into that game, we were vying to become second in the Big Ten. And after the year before had been a disaster, been a 1-13 year. And then we came into that game with a chance to become second in the Big Ten, and they had, of course, Cassie Russell and Oliver Darden, and we defeated them.
Were they number one in the Big Ten?
They were
undefeated.
Yes, they were. They were number one.
Okay. Michigan has not lost a game in the Big Ten. It's the final game of the season. And Cassie Russell, Oliver Darden come to Jennison Fieldhouse, and you're a sophomore, right?
I'm a sophomore, and I'm going to hit my drive. This is Jerry Braverman, Tom.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm out here with the big guy.
How did you possibly get called to play with Jerry Giesler? I mean, what did you lose in a bet or something?
I was the last guy to show up.
Where do you call home?
Well, I'm here in the Villages too, but we moved down out of Central New York, the Finger Lakes region.
From New York, huh?
Yep.
I know
it's quite a place down here. You ought to come down and visit us.
I've been there a few times, Tom.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to. Jerry didn't want to expose me, but we have a place down there, and that's how I run into good old Jer. How was his drive, by the way? Did he hit it good?
Right down the middle.
Yeah, he's
all 20 yards of it.
People don't know that Jerry used to coach a golf team.
I know. That's what he says. Here he is again.
All right. Jer.
So I'm back to the game.
Yeah.
And,
Cassie Russell comes to town. When do you find out? Because you're not a starter in your sophomore year.
When did you find out that
Coach Bennington wanted you to start?
I didn't start the game. Matt started it.
Okay. Matthew H.
Matthew H. started it, and he got in foul trouble. And I'm figuring I'm not going to play much at all. And Coach Bennington said, "Giesler, come down here. You're in." And I went in, and I'm guarding the number one player in the country.
How many points did Cassie score that night?
You know, I think he scored, believe it or not, 34 or 35. But the whole key to playing him.
Yes.
And that's why Coach Bennington was such a smart coach, is he put a post player on Cassie Russell, and then that took away Cassie's ability to drive, to rebound, and a lot of his passing. So we knew he was going to score.
Yeah. How many did you score?
I had seven.
Seven? Yep. But you won the ball game.
Yeah, we won it pretty handily, actually.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to, you know, 86-77 was the final score. You won by 9 points, and that was John Bennington's very first year. Am I right?
That's correct, yeah. So,
and if anybody wants to see the film of the game, can they come down to your house in the villages?
They can have it.
Huh?
I have it. It's fun to watch.
I know you do.
Yeah,
Jerry,
you watched it.
Of course I did. Now, let me ask you, will you tell us, share one story with us here on the radio?
Sure.
Because I was always fascinated by Richie Jordan, who was an outstanding high school player in Fenville, but didn't get a lot of playing time at Michigan State. He was 5'4 or something like that, even though he could stuff the ball, and a great athlete, and still lives in Florida, I think runs a gym down there in Sarasota. But you are on that team with Richie and Tom Lick, and was Stan Washington there at that time? I don't remember.
Well, yeah, Richie and Tom were actually freshmen.
Okay.
And they were not on the team.
All right. But then, tell them the story about you and Tom Lick putting Richie in the game.
Oh,
without telling
the
coach.
That was at Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we were sitting at the end of the bench. None of us were getting much playing time. And so Tom and I turned to Richie and we said, Richie, Coach wants you.
And Richie, of course, probably jumped.
Richie runs down there, starts pulling off his warm-up, and Coach Bennington turned around and looked at him and went, what do you want? Poor Richie. He was not very happy with us, but it was pretty funny.
What did Bennington say to you, Jer?
After the game, he said, what are you guys doing to that poor guy? I just said, well, you know, Coach, you got to have some fun when you're sitting down.
How about when you had to guard Lou Hudson, who was another one of the outstanding players in the Big Ten for Minnesota at that time?
Well, you know, I held him to 24, and he had a cast on his shooting hand. And that was an interesting day. He was I personally thought he was the best player in the Big Ten.
Jerry, do you name some of your other teammates, and do you still keep in touch with any of them?
Steve Reimel, John Bailey, John Holmes, Stanley Washington, Bill Curtis, and of course Matt H, who's now passed away. But,
Jimmy Klepper, Gorman, were those guys there?
Klepper, Gorman, yeah, they were all there.
Boy, I remember those guys when we went to Hawaii together.
Yes, we did.
Rose Bowl. Well, you know, I appreciate it, Jaron. You're feeling okay? You're doing good?
Doing good. I'm in the middle of the fairway going to a par 5. Life is good, buddy.
All right. Say hello to your beautiful bride, Pat, for me.
I will.
And thank you so much for calling in. Do you have any final
Jerry.
Thoughts? Give me one final tidbit here. Here's the Spartans have such a huge game Sunday in Ann Arbor. What are your remembrances? What do you think it takes to win in Ann Arbor?
Don't get caught up in the crowd, because we beat them down there when I was a senior, and that's when I guarded Rudy Tomjanovich also.
Hmm.
And don't get caught up in the crowd.
But how do you do that, Jerry? It sounds really easy.
Just block it.
Yeah.
Just block it.
Block it out.
Yep. Do what you've been trained to do and execute, and you'll win.
But you know what, Jerry? The students and the crowds have become so much more energized and eclectic and, let's say, adversarial than they used to be. I mean, it's a tough, no matter where it is. I don't care if it's Ann Arbor or Champaign. It's tough.
It is. You just got to do what you've been trained to do and work your butt off.
All right, brother.
Okay, man.
Go back. Hit him good.
Talk to you later.
All right. Jerry Giesler, the Geese. If guys were growing up in the area or around Michigan State during the late 60s, you'll remember Jerry. He was and still is a crowd favorite, a character, and a good, fun guy. And he did help Michigan State defeat Michigan in one of the big upsets, because they were a huge favorite. They were undefeated. They had Cazzie Russell, Oliver Darden. They came here and in John Bennington's very first year, knocked off Michigan 86-77. Jerry worked for a sporting goods company for a number of years. He ran a lot of sports camps, worked as a state trooper out in North Dakota, and now he's retired as a golf ambassador down in the Villages, Florida. I'm glad he called in. I guess we're not having any success with Greg, huh? Special K is lost in action in the Big Easy down in New Orleans, which is also a place where our offensive coordinator at Michigan State, Dan Roschar is headed for the New Orleans Saints, and we're expecting an announcement on the new coordinator any moment, but that hasn't happened yet, so I guess we're going to have to wait on that for the official announcement under Coach Mark D'Antonio. But anyway, we are in the final moments here. We want to tell you again that if you'd like to call us in the next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll perhaps give you a chance to win a couple of hockey tickets and enter you for some basketball tickets. Our number here in Sports Talk is 355-9527. Toll free, 877-952-7870. I guess we'll take a break. Aaron, are you out there? Yeah, all right, buddy. We're asking the folks to just stay tuned for more Sports Talk after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
On the next Fresh Air, a film that begins with terror in the sky.
This is SouthJet 227. We're in an uncontrolled dive. We got a jam stabilizer or something.
Denzel Washington plays a heroic pilot who's an alcoholic in the movie Flight, now out on DVD. We'll hear from director Robert Zemeckis, whose previous films include Back to the Future and Forrest Gump. Join us.
Good afternoon, I'm Kevin Lavery with the forecast. For the rest of the day, look for mostly cloudy skies and a high in the upper 20s. Then partly cloudy tonight, a low around 15. Some sun over the weekend, partly sunny on Saturday, highs in the upper 20s. And mostly sunny on Sunday, again, highs in the upper 20s.
Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on 870 WKAR Radio. I'm Terry Braverman. In the last few minutes of a Friday afternoon, we'll take your phone calls, answer any questions you might have. We are missing in action with Greg Kelser, who's doing the Pistons game tonight against New Orleans. We talked to him yesterday. Greg was all set, but obviously these things happen all the time, I guess, Aaron. I can't be judgmental. But we appreciate Greg taking the time to think about calling us, but we can't get through to him. By the way, I looked back because I was curious, and Greg Kelser won the rebounding title for Michigan State all 4 years that he played, but only because freshmen were eligible to play varsity basketball. He came in 76, and the change occurred in 1972. That is the first year that the Big Ten and NCAA allowed freshmen to play varsity basketball in the Big Ten. And the reason I know that is because one of the outstanding players who came in 72 and played at Michigan State was a young man named Terry Furlow, who led Michigan State in scoring for 3 or 4 years. All right, let's go. Oh, there's a good question. Let's go to that. He is not on the line? Okay, I know Jack from Hazlitt. He called in, and his guess as the top two scoring freshmen were Magic Johnson and, he said, Jerry Furlow, and I just said Terry Furlow. And, Jack, you were half right with Magic Johnson and Jerry Furlow. And I'll even accept Terry Furlow, but he was half right. So if you want to get those hockey tickets, come on, call me. Who are the two freshmen who averaged more points per game for the entire season than Gary Harris has so far? Gary Harris averaging 13.4, and there are two players that have a higher scoring average than he. All right, the number is 355-9527 or 877-952-7870. And Furlow, as I said, was one of the first to be the recipient of being able to play as a freshman. And played all 4 years. Mike Robinson, probably another one. And then Kelser and Magic and those guys came along. And fortunately, they were able to play as freshmen. And then as a sophomore for Magic, we won the national championship at 79. How many teams do you think were in the NCAA tournament in 1979? Not the 64 that we or 68 that we have today, but the Spartans had to win 5 basketball games to win the NCAA tournament, not 6 as it would be today. There were 48 teams, 48 in the bracket. And let's see if we can, off the top of our heads, recall the games. Lamar I think, was the first one, then LSU, and then the game that everyone thinks probably could have been for the national championship when Michigan State defeated Notre Dame. And then in the semifinal, Michigan State played Pennsylvania and won that game by something like 34 points, 101 to 67, I think it was, and then the national championship over Indiana State. Okay, let's. You want me to go to line one? Hi, Jerry, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, Terry, just literally tuning into the show this minute. You still fielding guesses for the two highest scoring freshmen?
I am.
My only guess off the top of my head would be Magic Johnson and Sean Rusbert.
Boy, that's a very good guess, Jerry. You are absolutely correct. Good guess. Sean Rusbert averaged a little over 15 points a game as a freshman, and Magic averaged over 17 points a game. So I will get you a couple of hockey tickets. You'll have to give your last name to Aaron, and we'll leave them at will call for you. Does that work out for you?
I think so. If not for me, possibly my son and his significant other. So,
okay.
By the way, Terry, you recall the halftime score of that Pennsylvania game.
Oh, boy. Can I take a stab at it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say it was like 51-23.
You're darn close. You'll have to double check me, but I think it was 50-17. I couldn't believe the first half.
All right.
Plus the final score. Anyway, it was good going down memory lane, Jerry.
Jerry, thanks for the call.
Good work.
All right, buddy. Give your last name to Aaron. Gregory, are you there?
Yeah, Terry, I am here.
Oh,
I am
boy.
Here, but let me first apologize. I'm in New Orleans. I'm, you know, right down here in the Canal Street, Bourbon Street area. The service is severely compromised, the signal, that is. So I know I'm supposed to be on your show today. I know you're almost out of time.
Yeah.
But I will promise you and your guests to come on maybe next week or something like that, or whenever you want me. But
Gregory, let me just say, we missed you at the alumni game. I know you are working, but some of your old teammates were on that floor. Can you believe Gilkey and Bobo and Rick Kay and Terry Donnelly suited up?
You know, I can believe it because those guys are still playing in rec leagues and you know, they're still running up and down the court, and good for them. Keeping themselves in shape. And I understand there were a few people that were even older than them, like Benny White, who looks like he's 20 years younger, and Edgar Wilson, all there, all in. Not surprised at all.
All right. Now, quickly, I got a couple other questions for you. Of course, Magic Johnson had some lame excuse like he was at the White House.
Right. He was there again the other day, too, while we were in Washington.
Gregory, your thoughts on the Spartans as they go down the end of the road here, especially playing in Ann Arbor Sunday.
Boy, that's going to be a fun game. Yeah. It really, really will be, and I'm looking forward to it. The Spartans are a very good basketball team, but you know what? They're on par with probably 10 other teams that are every bit as good. They're all right there in a basket, which is why the NCAA tournament coming up this year is going to be fantastic. You know, there's no clear-cut favorite in my estimation. Anybody can beat anybody, and when you start bringing neutral floors into play, then it can really, really be wide open.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah. And I like the way they're improving right now.
Final Four in Atlanta should be something, Greg.
If they get there,
yeah,
I'll be there.
All right. I hope so. How about Dennis Rodman as our next diplomat? What do you think of that?
I saw that, and I had to say, well, you know what? Only in the world of Worm, only in Dennis's world can something like that happen. He just keeps resurfacing. He keeps himself relevant in some way or another.
Hey, Special K, have a good broadcast tonight in the Big Easy, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
I'll look forward to it. Again, apologize for the signal here.
No problem, Greg. Thank you so much. And thank you all, everybody, for listening. Aaron, thank you for helping me out here once again. I appreciate it. And have a good weekend, everybody. Let's beat the blue. Go green. Terry Braverman. See you later.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.